A woman grips your hand in her final days and whispers words that will haunt you forever. I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself. This moment changed everything for Bronnie Ware, a former banker turned palliative care worker who spent years sitting beside the dying in their most vulnerable moments. What she discovered wasn't just a collection of deathbed confessions, it was a roadmap for the living, a blueprint for a life without regrets. Her simple blog post about the 5 most common regrets expressed by dying patients reached over 3 million readers in its first year, struck a chord with Oprah, and sparked a global conversation about what truly matters. But these weren't abstract philosophical musings. These were raw, tearful admissions from people who could finally see their lives with brutal clarity, stripped of all pretense and social performance. Their wisdom came at the highest cost, a lifetime of missed opportunities, yet they offered it freely as a final gift to those still walking the path they could no longer travel. Grace spent over 50 years in a marriage to a controlling husband. When he finally entered a nursing home, she tasted freedom, only to receive a terminal diagnosis caused by his secondhand smoke. All those postponed dreams would never materialize. "Why didn't I just do what I wanted?" she asked repeatedly, angry at herself for lacking courage. This regret, not living authentically, emerged as the most common one across all patients. We choose careers that sound impressive rather than ones that excite us. We silence opinions to keep peace. We follow invisible rules we never agreed to. Grace's life wasn't destroyed by one dramatic choice, but by thousands of small surrenders, each barely noticeable, until she looked back and couldn't recognize herself. Bronnie understood this intimately, having spent years in soul-draining banking jobs, terrified of family ridicule. As Grace weakened, Bronnie brought her guitar and sang. With her last breaths, Grace made Bronnie promise, "Live true to your own heart. Don't ever worry what others think." John embodied success, a former diplomat with an impressive career. Yet in his final days, his voice carried profound regret. He'd repeatedly postponed retirement despite his wife Margaret's pleas to travel together. "Just one more year," he kept saying, until Margaret became ill and died 3 months before his planned retirement. "I think I was scared," he admitted. "My role had come to define me. Now, as I sit here dying, I see that just being a good person is more than enough in life." This regret appeared overwhelmingly among male patients. We've built a culture worshiping busyness, equating human worth with productivity. We wear exhaustion like a badge of honor, missing our children's milestones because we're building something important. Charlie watched his son Greg repeat this pattern, working excessive hours at a job he hated, neglecting his children. Charlie had never directly told Greg he loved him, only commenting on completed tasks. After an emotional breakthrough where Charlie finally expressed his love, Greg's life transformed. He sold their large home, took a pay cut for a small country town, and now enjoys more time with his children. Balance isn't something we find, it's something we create through deliberate choices, often against tremendous cultural pressure. Joseph survived the Holocaust but carried one profound regret, never telling his son how proud he was of him. With his son overseas and their relationship strained, that opportunity was lost forever. We suppress emotions to maintain peace or avoid vulnerability, assuming people know how we feel. But assumption is a poor substitute for expression. Rosemary, a pioneering executive who'd escaped an abusive marriage, intimidated everyone until Bronnie sat beside her through an outburst. Her walls crumbled. "I'm so scared and lonely. Please don't leave me." The tragedy isn't just in words unsaid, but in believing we have unlimited time. Doris wept over her friend Lorraine, unseen for decades due to a forgotten disagreement. When Bronnie reconnected them by phone, Doris passed away peacefully that afternoon, having experienced the joy of renewed connection. Elizabeth, dying from alcoholism, confided through tears, "I wish I'd stayed in touch with my friends, my real friends." Her family had banned her drinking companions, leaving her isolated. she finally grasped the difference between acquaintances and true friends, those who stand by during life's darkest moments. Her drinking companions never challenged her destructive behavior, while those who truly cared had been pushed away. We live in an age of thousands of friends online, but profound loneliness offline. Life gets busy. Careers, families, responsibilities pile up. We tell ourselves we'll reconnect soon, but sometimes decades pass, and the people who once knew us best become strangers. Harry, despite declining health, demonstrated friendship's true nature through his stream of jovial visitors. His crucial wisdom: it's not just about staying in touch with your friends. It is about giving yourself the gift of their company too. Real friendship isn't an obligation. It's a gift we give ourselves. Elizabeth eventually reconnected with two old friends before her death, experiencing their immediate forgiveness and support. Her final wisdom: don't lose touch with friends who accept you as you are. They're worth more than anything in the end. I wish I'd let myself be happier. Rosemary's regret wasn't about circumstances. It was about denying herself available happiness. After escaping an abusive marriage, she built walls and sought validation through achievement, becoming intimidating and isolated. When she complained about Bronnie's cheerfulness, Bronnie explained happiness was a daily choice, despite facing her own health crisis. We treat happiness as a destination, postponing joy until circumstances align perfectly. They never do. Rosemary felt undeserving because of shame about her divorce. When Bronnie encouraged her to simply give herself permission, Rosemary gradually began smiling more, accepting happiness even as her health declined. Lenny's testimony was most powerful. Despite losing both parents by 14, a son in Vietnam, a daughter to a car accident, another son to mental illness, and his wife Rita in her 40s, he insisted he'd had a good life because, "I have known love, and it is love that has not lessened for one day." In his final moments, his radiant smile taught everyone that only love matters. Happiness isn't naive optimism. It's recognizing joy as our birthright, not something earned, but simply allowed. After 8 years with the dying, Bronnie faced her darkest depression. Despite absorbed wisdom, patterns of low self-worth lingered. Growth, she realized, is like peeling an onion, each layer making us cry harder. At her lowest, having written a farewell note, the phone rang. A cheerful stranger offering ambulance insurance. The absurd irony broke her suicidal spell. She realized her tender heart needed love from herself first. Depression vanished overnight. Birds followed her through paddocks. Colors seemed brighter. This transformation was the culmination of everything she'd learned. Each regret requires courage and love to conquer. Be who you are. Find balance. Speak honestly. Value those you love. Allow yourself happiness. You don't need to wait until your deathbed to see clearly. Remember Grace singing in her final days, John watching his sunset, Elizabeth reconnecting with old friends. They're offering hard-won wisdom, paid for with lifetimes of missed opportunities. The question isn't whether you'll face challenges, you will. It's whether you'll have courage to live authentically anyway. Because in the end, the only regret worse than trying and failing is never trying at all.